Good morning, brethren. If you would, before we begin our lesson this morning, I forgot to mention something, and it would mean a great deal to me if y'all would pray with me in just a few moments. There is a brother in Christ, a fellow gospel preacher that Alicia and I are acquainted with, and him and his wife live in Ohio, and we've heard a horrible news that Friday evening their two-month-year-old son has passed away suddenly. Without a known cause. And I would just really appreciate it, as if a church full of saints, that we would lift up his family, as well as I know that we have a lot of people that are battling and have had things happen to them. And I just appreciate if we can pray and lift these people up. Almighty, powerful God in heaven, we thank you so much for the health that we have as we sit here today. Father, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be able to come out, assemble together with like-minded saints. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to lift our voices to you, study from your word, remember your son and his sacrifice that means everything to us. Father, we so appreciate the blessings that we receive today. And we ask you, Father, that you'll continue to bless families that also need it in time of pain. Father, we want to lift up the DeGarmo family at this time. We know that they are hurting physically as they have lost their son. We pray, Father, that you will use this in time in a way that will help strengthen them, help them to be able to share this with other people, that it might in some way, somehow, bring others to you. Father, there's many of our congregation that are battling illnesses, sicknesses, and have had deaths in the family. Father, we know that these things are tough to physically overcome, both mentally and physically. I just ask that you'll be with each and every one in this congregation here. You'll encourage them. You'll lift them up. You'll give them a peace, Father, that if we just abide in you, that nothing can happen to us that can overcome us, but that we can live forever through you and your strength. Father, I ask that you'll continue to be with this group and be with the DeGarmo family and help every saint around the world to have a peace that is only found in you. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you've given us through you and your Son and his sacrifice. We pray all these things through your Son's name. Amen. Amen. If you were here with us last Lord's Day, we began a lesson together about the new year. We talked about the new year, and obviously you know that it was time for a lesson to try to encourage you in some way to be a better Christian in the year to come. The lesson looks like this. Said it's a brand new year, is it the same old you? I tried with the Word of God to encourage you to say to yourself that while you might have done a great job of being a Christian in 2012, we all know that we can do better. Each and every one of us. So we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just the same old us in the year to come, in the days ahead that, Lord willing, we'll have. And we talked about 3 points, and those 3 points were that we need to seek God in all that we do. We need to put Him first in this year to come. Not second, not third, and not just allow Him to come to us, but that we actually seek Him in everything we do. We also talked about respecting God more than we have. That means not just in His Word, but respecting Him with our time. We have so many things that happen in this life. We need to respect Him and put Him first on our to-do list. Seek Him out. And third, we talked about trusting Him. We talked about things like we just prayed about. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what deaths, what illnesses, what job changes, family changes, moves. We don't know what could possibly happen in any given day. But we just need to trust Him. After this lesson that we had last Sunday morning, a thought kept going through my head that I really wanted to do something to equip the saints. I wanted to do something to not just give knowledge, and sometimes I'm afraid that when we study together that we can gain a lot of knowledge about seeking and respecting God, but how do we do that? Kept going through my head. So this morning, if I could, some type of small continuation of last week's lesson, I want us to understand that these aren't just things that we covered and the Word of God told us and it sounds good because it's the new year
and now we've had our New Year's sermon, now we can move on to the rest of our life. No, I want us to understand these are important principles that we need to do. And let's look at today, how. How to have that great year that we all want. How to have a great year spiritually. How to grow. How to be different than we were in the days before. Because I know that's what each and every one of us are seeking. I know that's what I'm seeking. My household is seeking. How this year can we be better? Sure, we might have grown some in 2012, but we want to grow more. We want to grow more as individuals, as family members. We want to grow more as a church. Not just because of numbers, but because there are so many souls in this town that we live in that need the gospel. They need the truth. They need to have their souls saved. And all we need to do is just share it with them. So this morning, I want to look at how to have a great year. Hopefully, you'll take these principles and that you will apply them, starting with number one in your notes this morning. How do we have a better spiritual year than the one before? How do we do better? Well, let's just start it. Start now. Start now. All the knowledge in the world can't change a thing if you never start now. Stop procrastinating is our first point of start now. How well are you this morning at procrastinating? No show of hands, none of that. I would raise mine, though, if I was stop procrastinating. That is a huge thing. I'd like to blame it on my family and say, well, that's the way they raised me, or that's a family trait. No blame. It just lies on us. Stop procrastinating. Don't wait until tomorrow. We do everything in life and say, we'll wait till tomorrow. Oh, the diet can wait till tomorrow. We'll study the Bible more tomorrow. We'll do this and that tomorrow. Today, nah. You want to know how to have a better year spiritually? How to grow in Christ? How to draw closer to God? Start now. Stop procrastinating. Try writing down goals. Try to write down goals. We're such visual people. We need things to see, to touch, to feel. Write down your goals. Let me ask you, how many times have you had a wonderful idea, but then you completely forget it because you didn't write it down? Brother Sammy Barker back here, he tells us sometimes on his Wednesday night invitations, I had a wonderful thought while riding on the tractor, but I didn't write it down, so here's the things I did remember. And that's like all of us. That's me. I'll be watching something on TV, and I'll think, oh, I've got to tell Alicia that. I have to say, we need to go buy that. And then an hour later, I've completely forgotten even what the commercial was about. I don't even know why I needed it. That's how I am. I know that's how you are because that's how we all are. Write down your goals. You know, some people, when they want to lose weight, I've done this. You like to take a picture of when you used to be really fit, right? And you want to put that up in front of you to remind yourself, hey, there was a day when I was like this, and I can do it again. Why is that? Because it's in our face. We see it. Write down your goals. I use post-it notes. I put them everywhere. I have them on the side of my computer screen. There's like an outline of them. There's even now there's digital sticky notes. And I have some of those on my desktop at home. And I remind myself because if I don't continually see goals, I'll forget about them. All the knowledge that God gives us in His Word is useless if all we do is pick it up once a week, twice a week, and never apply it. How can you have a better year spiritually? Start now. Stop procrastinating. Write down your goals. Put them in front of you. Because you're going to forget them. And then if you forget them and you don't have them written down anywhere, well then you're not going to achieve anything for Christ this year. Nothing more than you have probably in the past years. Start now. Try writing them down. Make them visible in front of you. This morning as we go into our points of the lesson, I want you to know that all of the points that we'll be looking at this morning are all going to be based off of the best example of how to be a better us, and that's by looking at the example of Jesus. Every point this morning, every example, we'll be looking in the Gospels. We're going to begin by looking in Matthew chapter 4. First, I'm going to talk to you this morning about starting now. I want to talk to those outside of the saved body. Those who have not yet put on Jesus Christ. Those who have not yet been baptized. Been released, been freed from your sins. So many people know the knowledge of how to be saved from their sins, but they have not done it. Why? Procrastinating. Maybe some other reasons. Today's not a good day. Tomorrow will be better. I need more knowledge. I'm scared to do it today. I don't know if I can change. I don't know if I can be what God wants me to be. Maybe I need to learn more, and then when I learn more, then I'll do it. You don't know how to become a Christian, how to be a better person spiritually in this year to come? Stop procrastinating. Look with me in Matthew chapter 4. First, I want us to look at verses 18 through 20. 18 through 20, look at the example of how Jesus' apostles followed him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Notice verse 20 with me. They immediately left their nets and followed him. How were these gentlemen made better spiritually? Because they followed Jesus immediately. They didn't look to Jesus and say, "Okay, you did a miracle, you did something, you said something, you're the Son of God, okay, we get it. But you know what, I'm kind of busy fishing, could you come back tomorrow? I believe you're the Son of God, I'll follow you wherever, but how about another week? I don't know enough about you, I need to wait to see more knowledge." What did they say? They said they would immediately follow them. They were fishing, and they apparently just dropped everything that they had and said, "Now we're going." Immediately they followed him. How do you want to do better spiritually in this year to come? Immediately start following God today. Follow Jesus today. Look at verses 21 and 22. Again, it says, "Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother. In the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." This is one of my favorite accounts in the Gospels of people following Jesus. Because if you look at verse 21 again, talking about these brothers, James and John, it says that they were in the boat. They were mending their nets with their father. They immediately followed him. Here's why I like it. They're sitting there helping their father doing the work of the fishermen, and apparently they just say, "Sorry, Father, you've got to complete the rest of the work. We've got to go follow the Son of God." Can you imagine that? You're just standing there and somebody says, "I'm not going to work anymore. You do the rest of the work." But that's what they did. Because they were lazy and they didn't want to help their father anymore? No, it's because they understood who this was. When did they start following him? They started immediately. Let's look at the example of Jesus himself, how he helps people. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. We looked at his disciples and how they immediately followed him. What about Jesus? How does he help people? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, "When he had come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." This is only one example of many that we could take the rest of the morning looking at, of how when Jesus helped, he helped immediately. He helped people. He didn't put them off. Sometimes he did it in his own time when it needed to be done, but he always helped them. He always helped them. I want to ask you this morning, if you have put off serving God, if you are not yet baptized into Christ, and you know it, I'm not speaking to a room full of people who have not heard the gospel. We're not preaching on the corner inside of somewhere in Jackson of people that have never heard the gospel. I know this morning that we are sitting in a room full of people that have heard lessons, studied the Bible, heard Bible classes, heard sermons, heard things from their parents. You've heard it from your parents. All different generations. You know the gospel. I ask you, did Jesus put you off? Jesus didn't put any of us off. Jesus Christ came to this earth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the pain that he must have been feeling mentally the night when he's praying in the garden, knowing that the next day he's going to be crucified? He's going to be treated awfully physically. He didn't say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to put that off. God, you're going to find another way to save this generation. Save these people. I don't want to do it. Jesus said, your will be done. And he didn't put off dying. He went to that cross to save every single one of us on this earth. Jesus did not put any of us off. Why would you put him off? It's a new year. It's a new start. It's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. If you were contemplating whether you should follow God, stop procrastinating and start now. I want to shift this focus to those of us who are in the saved body of Christ. Those who have been baptized for the remission of our sins. We enjoy the spiritual blessings that are received from Jesus in His sacrifice. I want to ask you to go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus gives a command. He gives it to the apostles, the disciples that are listening to Him, and He gives it to everybody after. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How do you do these things? Verse 20, He says, teach them. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of age. Jesus Christ gave every single one of us that are saints, that are saved by Jesus' blood, a command to go into all the world and teach people. That doesn't mean you need to get on a plane and go over to another nation, like China somewhere. Start in your own home. Start in your own city. But start now. How many people do you know around you that are lost? How much time have you spent procrastinating not sharing the gospel? Not telling somebody you're a Christian? Not saying what needs to be said, maybe even to somebody in your own family? Stop procrastinating. How do you want to have a better year spiritually? Well, you can do it by looking at others around you. You can help them. There's a song that we sing. I want to ask you to get your hymn books and turn to 598. 598. I want us to read together the first verse in 598. It says, when in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be, if that any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mention him to me. You never mention him to me. You help me not the light to see. You met me day by day, knew I was astray, yet never mention him to me. Are there people in your life that you have never mentioned Christ to? As excited and hopeful and a peace that you feel that you know that heaven is your home? Do you not want people that you know and love to go there with you? That is going to be an awful, awful feeling on the day of judgment when we come to an understanding that while we've been lifted up to glory, there are some that we love that will not be there with us. There is a point in our lives where when we tell people they're just going to turn us down, that's okay. Jesus didn't say continue, bug them, make them. He just said share the gospel with them. Allow them to make their own decisions. But let's not let another day, another year go by without making sure those around us know who Jesus is and how to be saved. Number one in our notes, how to begin having a better year spiritually. If you're outside of the saved body, be baptized. Stop procrastinating. If you are a saint, study the Word of God. Grow closer. Share the gospel with other people. Number two, we need to control our time better. Control our time better. That will help us spiritually. Make time your servant, not master. How easy is it for us to allow the time in the day to become our master? Now, we do everything by time and by calendars. Everything we do, we look at our clock. What time is it? I got to be here. I got to be there. We look at our calendars. What's today? What's today's to-do list? Everything we do is by time. And so, so many times we allow the time to control us. Control your own time. Jesus made time. How are you doing with making time for God in your life? Go with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, I want to read verses 32 through 35. Jesus shows us an example of how to better control our time. At evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus controlled his time by waking up early in the morning and praying. Time is going to control you if you don't control it. How do you control it? Make plans. Set goals, spiritual goals. And then make time for it. Jesus woke up early. Maybe that's something you can do. Maybe it's staying up later. Maybe it's carving out some other time. But make time. Mark chapter 6 and Luke chapter 5. Other verses that talk about Jesus going away from everybody else. Going away from the multitude. And he just finds time to pray, to be with God. How can we be better spiritually? Control your time. Control your time. I want to tell you that there's always, and I mean always, going to be someone who will seek your time. Always. Work seeks your time. Your family, your friends seek your time. You need to learn to say no to somebody at some point. Everybody wants you to do something. If you do everything that they want you to do, you'll have no time for yourself, which includes spending some time with God. Maybe in the Word, maybe meditation, maybe prayer, whatever it is that you want to do. You have to make the time. Cell phones. Cell phones are something that all of us have. And we all have them on our hips, have them on our desk, have them somewhere around us where we can hear them at all times. May I encourage you this morning to say no? I know there's going to be some smiles in here, and I know why. I know what you're thinking about me. But let me tell you something very important. Someone will always seek your time. Always. It's going to be your kids. It's going to be work. It's going to be friends. Learn to say no. It's okay to say no to do important things like pray to God. Study the Word of God. Just having family time that's important. It's okay to say no. Just because we now have cell phones and they're on our hip doesn't mean we have to answer every time it rings. If we answered every time it rings, we'll hardly have time to do anything else in our life. Say no. If you don't say no to your cell phone, to your friends, to your work, if you don't say no to some of these things in life, you'll never have time to grow in God. You'll never have time to pray and to open up your Bible and just study. Someone will always, always seek your time. But you need to control it. Mark chapter 1, look at verse 36 and 37. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. They're saying, Jesus, where have you been? Everybody wants to see you. Come on, Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Because that's the way our life is. It was the way for Jesus, and it's the way for us. You need to learn how to control your time better. That will help you spiritually. Learn to say no to some things and put God at the top of the list. Speaking of time, I want to go to number 3 in our notes. We need to learn how to practice time management a little better. That will help us spiritually. Because if we're not very good at practicing time management, guess what always falls down the list? God. Reading the Bible falls down. Praying to God falls down. Doing a Bible lesson falls down. Talking to our kids about God falls down the list. Practice time management. You can do that by focusing on the primary. Let me show you what I'm talking about by going to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, I want to begin reading in verse 2. I'm going to read some verses together, and I want to show you what I'm talking about here. John chapter 11, verse 2. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. We see here the account of Lazarus being sick. He's going to die. I want you to look at verse 6 with me. So when he, this being Jesus, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. I'm going to pause there and make a point here. Jesus knows that Lazarus is going to die, but he doesn't go immediately. I understand, brethren, we don't have the gift of Jesus. We can't see into the time in the future to know when we should do something, when we shouldn't. But the same principle applies here. Jesus says, we'll do that later. There must have been something that was more important at the time for Jesus to do, more primary. And he knew that secondary, we'll take care of Lazarus later. And we're going to raise him from the dead, and we're going to build people's faith that way. Look at me in verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Verse 19, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, notice this, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Martha is saying to Jesus, if you would have come, he wouldn't have died. Why did you do this to him? Again, we don't have the blessing of the powers that Jesus does, that he knows that he is all-powerful like the Father. But there's a reason he did it, and there's a reason he went in his own time. We know, looking at the rest of the chapter, that Jesus does go to build faith and raises Lazarus from the dead. But I say all this to understand, focus on the primary. There was something in Jesus' life and his daily life that was more important than going there at that time. Are there things in your life that are more important than others? There's always going to be something undone in your life. Always. Tell me a single week of your life where you have completed every single task that you wanted to. Between work, maybe the honey-do list, the list for the children. Is there ever a week where you completed every single checklist? If you did, congratulations to you. I don't believe I've ever completed everything I set out to do. There's always going to be something left undone. So what do you need to do? Focus on the primary. If we allow it, our time management, there will always be something on the side to steal our time. There'll be the children, there'll be the work, there'll be everything out here, and we'll never focus on the primary. What is the primary in a Christian's life? God, our soul, learning more, obeying more. Stop allowing all these secondary things to be on top of God on your checklist. Practice better time management. Focus on the primary in your spiritual goals. That's why we write them down. We remember them so we can focus on them again. I have a phrase here for us. There's never enough time to do everything, but always enough time to do the right thing. Lord willing, of course, that is. What that means is this. You're never going to get all of the things in a day or a week done that you want to do. Never. But there's always enough time to say no to something secondary and put God first. There's always time for that. There is always an opportunity every day of your life for you to make a decision on what's going to come before. God, work. God, children. God, friends. God, hobbies. God, TV. God, the computer. God, the iPad. On and on we go. There's always enough time for you to say no to something secondary and focus on the primary. Remember that in your daily life. Practice better time management. In another example, let me show you. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Too many people read the Bible and they say there's no way that this applies to us. Jesus is the Son of God. How does anything we do apply to us? We can never live up to His standard. What lessons can we learn? Well, look at Luke chapter 4. Verse 41, "And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And He, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that He was Christ." Verse 42, "When it was day, He departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought Him and came to Him and tried to keep Him from leaving them. But He said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" What if Jesus went everywhere that people wanted Him? He would never be able to preach the gospel. He'd never be able to do all the things He was sent to do. Jesus was always trying to be kept in other cities, to heal more people, to do things for that city. But Jesus had to just say, "No, here's the time management come in. I have to keep going. I have to do other things." We need to make time to reach our spiritual goals as well. Don't let other people, don't let other things secondary to your soul become more important. Don't do it. Practice better time management. Number four for you this morning. How to have a great year. It would go a long way, brethren, to live with eternity in view. Jesus taught from the very beginning of His ministry, of His teaching, to live with eternity in view. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" From the very beginning, Jesus, as He begins His teaching of the gospel, He tells everybody, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think about your soul. Think about eternity. That's more important. And then He reminds us in our daily life to continue to think this way. Matthew chapter 6 and 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" How many hours of the day and the week do you worry about things like this? What to eat? What's for supper tonight? What are we going to wear tomorrow? I've got to plan it out. We won't plan out a weekly reading plan of the Bible. We won't plan out when to study the Bible. We won't plan out when to sit down with our kids and just talk about spiritual things for 30 minutes. But we'll have a list somewhere that plans out what we're going to have for supper every night, what we're going to buy at the grocery store, maybe what the clothes are, that the children are going to wear. Maybe some of the wives have to help some of us husbands because we don't know any better. They help lay out clothes. I know some of us don't need that, but some of you certainly do. I love you, brethren. Love you. Know what I'm saying, brethren? We'll make plans for everything, but we won't make plans for God. God says, Jesus says, don't worry about all these things. Stop worrying about food, clothing, the things of this world. Worry about your soul. Worry about whether your soul's going to heaven, whether it's not. He tells us in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to." Jesus doesn't say, "Seek secondly the kingdom of God." He doesn't say, "Plan out your entire life on earth and your work and your children and everything else and get to me when you can." He says, in every decision that you make in life, you need to make it with your soul first. Jesus begins His ministry telling us to plan out for our souls. He continues to tell us, live your life in such a way. And then He ends His ministry telling us the same thing. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. How many times do we put our souls secondary to all the things of the world? We do it a lot because we worry about our jobs and we worry about everything that's going on in life. I want you to understand this morning as you leave here that there's going to be some decisions that you're going to make today, tomorrow, for the rest of this year, and they're going to affect a lot. Remember that. Remember that when you walk away here and you make some decisions, it's going to affect your soul, it's going to affect the soul of your spouse, your children, and those around you. So why not start today making the right decisions? Stop allowing everything else to come before God. Stop putting off reasons to be baptized. Stop putting off reasons to grow in Christ. Start today. How can we have a great year? We need to live with a view of eternity in mind and stop focusing just on the now. In closing, brother, I want to read this verse one more time for you. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation." This is what he tells you on how to be saved from your sins. "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." This morning, are you saved? Stop procrastinating. Are you saved? Jesus says, "Put me first. Seek me first. Be baptized for the remission, release of your sins. Don't put it off another day." If we can help you this morning to put on Christ through baptism, if we can help you in any spiritual way, we ask that you make your way down front. Let it be known. Let us pray for you. Let us baptize you. Let us do whatever needs to be done right now as we stand and sing.